Lighthouse Church presents the following message by Pastor Jason Holloman.
If you are just joining us and you have not been with us the last couple of weeks, we are in the middle of our Advent series where we are going through the names of God. And it's been really fun because there's a number of names of God that many of us don't typically think about, right? So when you saw the list, you saw, you know, Logos, and so you see that means the Word. And so some names of God are pretty common that, you know, people know. Last week was Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Nissi was last week. The Lord is my banner from Exodus 17. And so that's not necessarily a common name of God that we think through and think about. Today, it's even a little bit more obscure, if you will. The passage that we're looking at won't be obscure, but the Hebrew name of God is. So we're going to practice it together. Who's with me? Okay, good. Show of hands. So generally speaking, 30% of you are absolutely in. Okay. All right. So it is from Isaiah 9, verse 6, Wonderful Counselor, right? It is Pele Yo Etz. So Pele, like the soccer player, Pele. Okay. Yo, as in like, yo, what's up? Okay. Pele Yo, and then either Etz or Eitz, depending if you're from the north or the south. All right? So ready? Pele Yo Eitz, right? Pele Yo Eitz is Hebrew for Wonderful Counselor. You wouldn't have even thought that today at 4 p.m., what a great service time, at 4 p.m., you'd be speaking Hebrew and not taking a nap. Welcome to church, guys. Yeah, so where we are today is studying in Isaiah 9, Pele Yo Eitz, Wonderful Counselor. In fact, just to get ready for my time, I know that many of you think I'm super nerdy. Just for my time, the passage that we're looking at, I spent listening to Handel's Messiah 11th movement and Handel's Messiah 12th movement, right? So you'll know the 12th movement, which is, I'm not even in the passage that I need to be, but the 12th movement is where a son is born to us. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. You know, you're familiar with the 12th movement, right? Nobody knows the 11th movement. It's the passage that Handel worked the music where we are in utter gloomy darkness. Has anybody sung that? Anybody? Not one person. My goodness. We are either a youthful congregation or not a choral congregation. And so anyway, so I spent time listening to that, and it's important. Why? Why? Because the idea of a son being sent into the world, this unbelievable light in the midst of darkness. Handel, in the 1700s, takes this unbelievable disparity from utter gloomy darkness. It is dreary. It is as dark as a night could be. And the music reflects it. It's this bass, gloomy sound. It's ominous. It's terrible. And then out of nowhere springs forth the most beautiful music talking about, and unto us a son is born. And the disparity in the music is intended to match the disparity in the scriptures. And if you're moved by music, apparently none of you are, but if you were to be, if that was a thing you're into, then I'm telling you the difference between these two things is spectacular. But I know it's lost favor with so many, unless you're into a super choral church. So if you're with me, turn to Isaiah chapter 9, beginning of verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning of verse 6. This week, we are celebrating joy. And so we lit the joy candle wrongly last week, but we lit the joy candle rightly this week, all right? So as long as we've stayed away from the Christ candle, guys, all right? We're staying away from the Christ candle until next week. We've at least got that nailed. Isaiah 9, beginning in verse 6. Isaiah 9, beginning in verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and evermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now, sometimes you'll see in translations, it'll say, wonderful, comma, counselor, comma, Almighty God, right? So sometimes you see that. In the Hebrew, they are connected. The words are connected. So it's a wonderful counselor. Now, where do we get this idea in paleo etz? Like, where do we get this idea? You see this idea from wonderful, and we have to split them, because for us to really understand what this name means, you have to see where else this name is being used. And so we want to first look at, from the Old Testament, this idea of wonderful from Exodus 15. And then when we get to the point of counselor, I'm actually going to bring in a word that has great prominence in the scriptures. It's parakaleo. It just is a word, it's a verb that we use a lot for encouragement or to entreat. So for instance, in Luke 15, when the father goes out to the older brother and he says, come, the younger brother, we've slaughtered a fattened calf. Come, the Bible says he entreated him to come in. Para kaleo, that's the word there. In fact, the Greek just simply means this: para, to be alongside of or to be near, and then kaleo, to speak or to herald or to teach. And so that's the word that we're talking about here. It's also the word we translate counsel. And so if for those of you that are old school Bible readers, beseech, you know the word beseech. Yeah, so there's a couple of nods. That's the same word, parakaleo. It's, we beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of Christ, or whatever version of the scriptures that you had. And so this is the word here. And so what you see is, you see this idea of wonderful from Exodus 15, which simply means this, miracle, which is crazy to even think about, that we translate the word wonderful counselor. It could actually be translated out of this world counselor, or not something that could be understood on the earth counselor, or miracle maker counselor, or even better, heart changing counselor. In fact, one of the best commentaries from the 80s, which is not typically known for good commentation, but a commentator from the 80s wrote that the best translation of this word wonderful is probably the way that we can see in the New Testament that God changes the heart of those who are hardened towards him. So the verb could be, he's a heart-changing counselor, Almighty God. So turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 15. In Exodus chapter 15, you'll remember that the children of Israel, just left Egyptian captivity. So they are leaving Pharaoh. Do you remember the story there in 14? They have their backs against the Red Sea. They're looking and they see Pharaoh coming with the chariots and then 600 choice chariots, and they are completely freaking out, right? They're exhausted, multi-generationally famished, multi-generationally abused, unbelievably tired. Every category, tired. Their backs are against the wall. They look to Moses, their leader, and they say, seriously, this is what you wanted for us? You take us out of Egypt, and you have us out here to die. Are there not enough graves in Egypt? And what does he say? Wonderful. Exodus chapter 14, beginning in verse 14. He says, stop. Don't speak. Look. The Egyptians that you see before you now, you will never see again. You have to do what? You have to only remain silent. And then God Almighty begins to just set the stage for one of the greatest exoduses of all time. And then he begins to split the Red Sea. The children of Israel begin to walk across the Red Sea. The Lord crashes the sea upon Pharaoh, his army. It is a story that even the darkest of pagans would say, oh yeah, yeah, like when God split the Red Sea, right? Like, I've never witnessed to somebody where we're talking about something, I'm like, well, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. In fact, I got my hair cut this morning, and I was talking to the lady. I was like, well, how do you think that, or why do you believe that? And he's like, well, who says your kid's good, right? So we're kind of doing a deconstruction thing, and as I'm talking to her, she's like, look, I know all about Christianity. You know, Red Sea, and then kills people. And I was like, man, you got it. You're almost there. I mean, nothing about the cross, nothing about Jesus, nothing about resurrection or return of Jesus, but man, she got Red Sea down. She's got Red Sea down. Praise God, right? We should pray for her. And so this is such a known story. And just following this moment, Moses erupts in song. It just bubbles out of him. He can't not do it. He looks at the Red Sea as it settles once again, and he is looking to see if anybody's alive. If you remember what the Bible says, it says, not one remained, just still. And then Moses, in Exodus chapter 15, begins to write this song. And all the way down in verses 10, we read this, Exodus 15, 10. You blew with your wind, and a sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Verse 11, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Notice the little g. Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? Pele. Unbelievable wonders. So who is God? He's a wonderful counselor. He is a wonder-doing counselor. He is a wonder-doing, he is a miracle-making, he is a way-forming counselor. And the Bible reveals this. This is, you see right here that there's a pull to this idea. Now, I'm going to continue to connect these ideas. Now, I'm not doing this just because I think it's a snazzy little way to communicate the scriptures. I'm doing this because the writer of Hebrews does this. If you're looking to see, like, okay, well, what can we do to connect this idea of counselor? Well, the writer of Hebrews here in Hebrews chapter 3, he begins to take this idea of a parakaleo. He begins to take this idea of counsel, and he begins to pull it back to this idea from Exodus 14, 15, and 16. If you remember what happens just after the moment that Moses erupts in song, if you remember, Moses says, man, this is awesome. This is amazing. You've saved us. And then all of a sudden, people start getting real tired. They start getting really angry. Why? Because they're in the wilderness. Now listen, I know what you're thinking. You're saying, but the wilderness isn't bad. We go camping all the time. You get all your stuff from your car, and then you walk to the campsite, right? And then you open up the well to fill up your canteen, right? And you heat up your water, and then if you get really cold, you just go back to your car, turn it on, warm up a little bit, then go back to your campsite, right? This is camping. It's the wilderness. It's fine. What they have here is different. It's different. So when it talks about wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, it's different. And it's not wilderness like forest. Think extremely arid. Think you pour water out into the arid dirt and landscape, and it just is assumed. It's just gone. In fact, I never really understood how you could be in one environment to an arid environment so quickly, except spending time with a friend of mine who is up in Ordway, Colorado. Ordway, Colorado, if you take Colorado and you cut it in half with Highway 50, and if you go from the west to the east on Highway 50, again, Highway 50 separates the north and the south, and you just start driving east on Highway 50. If you start from all the way western Colorado, I mean, it's raining and snowing and beautiful trees and green everywhere. Your windshield wipers are going. It's beautiful. No matter what season you're in, it's beautiful. And you keep driving west, and it gets more and more rocky, more and more arid, more and more parched. And by the time you get to this town called Ordway, a dear pastor connected church with us, River of Life Fellowship in Ordway, Colorado, Jeb Brown, the pastor there, faithful man. It's been a great joy to become friends with him through various reasons. But it's amazing that when you get, in fact, is Kenny there now? Or did he just get back? He just got back. So Pastor Kenny just got back from there, spending some time with those elders. Faithful man. So Kenny, if he were here, would be able to attest at how parched their county is. And if you get there, and you get to Jeb's house, it is nothing but just a sandy dirt around it. And I was like, man, where's your grass? And he said, it'd cost me $1,000 a month to have a 5x5 plot of grass. And I was like, well, what are you doing? He's like, it's just the way this county is. It is arid. And so I don't know anything about cattle, but not a whole lot of cattle grazing up there. In fact, it might be like a 500 acre per cow kind of deal, if you know what I mean. It's just arid. And you can exist and move quickly through the wilderness, but you can't stay there. And so the children of Israel are exhausted. They're tired. They are thirsty. Where they were in Egypt was bountiful and plentiful. I mean, there was seasons and resources, and though they were enslaved, there was greenery and grass and things going on under Pharaoh, yes. And so when they get to the wilderness, and we're going to see this idea here because the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, you are exhausted and tired and dry. There's this word picture between spiritual dryness and the land itself being parched. And when we get to Hebrews here, Hebrews is pulling this idea from Israel in the wilderness. He's saying, listen, do not be like what happens in Meribah. Don't be like that. Don't be bitter and frustrated. And then he tells us this idea of counsel. So in Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Take care, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil and unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. So if you were to go back and look at Hebrews chapter 2 and the beginning of Hebrews chapter 3, you would see he's talking about, he's connecting the two ideas of Israel exhausted in the wilderness, a dry and desolate land, and the people that the writer of Hebrews is writing to. Verse 13, but, wait for it, but parakaleo, exhort one another every day. As long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, and this is a reference to Psalm 95, as it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, what took place in Exodus 15. And so what does it say here? Every day what? Be counseled. Every day what? Parakaleo. Be entreated. Be counseled. Be encouraged. Be, for the old school in the room, beseeched. Every day. The writer of Hebrews is saying, if you do not do this, it will be like what took place with those in the wilderness. Your heart will grow hard. Now, you got to hear me. I cannot even begin to share the number of folks that, man, we're talking about church folks. I'm not even talking about people outside the church. Remember, just because you're in church does not mean you are in Christ. In fact, I tell that to everybody who wants to date somebody. It's like, yeah, but he loves to go to church. It's like, I don't care about his church attendance. I care about if he is in Christ. Man, there's a lot of weird people in church. That's just free dating advice to whoever needs some free dating advice. You got to hear me, seriously. In church means nothing, and Christ is everything. And so when you see this idea, hearts will be hard unless you get parakaleo, unless you get exhortation every day. Unless there is something that will tenderize a hardening heart. And you might say, man, things aren't that bad in my life. You could have a good life, and a good life leads to a hard heart. apart from Christ. Man, I've got a great job. Great jobs lead to hardened hearts apart from Christ. My marriage is pretty good. A pretty good marriage will lead to hardened hearts apart from Christ. This is default setting. The default setting, because life is just not as good as we want it to be. In fact, I was listening to a sermon by Tim Keller. I just love Tim Keller, Presbyterian minister. He's retired now, but I was just listening to a sermon by Tim Keller. He said, listen, the most beautiful face today is in the process of dying, wrinkling, and no longer being beautiful. The biggest and best, strongest body today is in the process of withering and dying away, turning to dust. The best jobs, the best families, the best neighborhoods are in process right now of falling into disarray. The whole point of this life is to illustrate that the very best that can be given to us, the very best that we can be given, will not in any way scratch the deepest itch that we have. It's in a way impossible to affect the deepest longings of our heart. That is the whole point. There is nothing in this life that is supposed to unbelievably satisfy at a level that God Himself alone reserves the right to satisfy. So when people come in and say, I've got a pretty good marriage, but it's just not doing it for me, I was like, that's the whole point, bro. Or like a wife will come in and say, yeah, man, my husband, surely there's more than this. And I was like, oh, there is. Be wedded to Christ. He's so much better. Or somebody say, man, I sold a company and I have all this money. And it's like not that big of a deal. It's like, that's exactly the point. It's like, but I've got all this security and I still don't feel secure. Welcome to the club. This is exactly what the Almighty wants. This is what He wants. He wants us to see that even the best leads to hardened hearts. What else does Hebrews say? Hebrews chapter 10. Turn there with me if you will. So what do we know? Parakaleo. We know that we every day have to be exhorted. We have to be counseled. We have to be beseeched. We have to be entreated. We have to be encouraged. What else? Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 20. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some. Parakaleo one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So what do we have? The writer of Hebrews, who has already brought this idea from the children of Israel, says, every day, be encouraged, be counseled every day. And then here in Hebrews 10, not neglecting to meet together. Again, you see this idea of communal folks getting together. This is why groups are so important. Do life groups matter on their face? No, they don't. But does having community that regularly meets and encourages and counsels and encourages and entreats, is that important? It's pivotal. It's of greatest importance. And the Bible says here, as the habit of some, not meeting together, encourage one another, parakaleo, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, here's my question. If every week, if every year, we are closer to the return of Jesus. That's what this passage is saying. If that's true, every year we are closer, then the Bible says this, we don't meet less often as the day approaches. We all the more meet more and more regularly for what? For counsel, for counseling, for care, for encouragement, as the day draws near. So what does that look like? Well, I'll tell you what it looks like here at Lighthouse. I don't know what it looks like in other churches, but I can tell you what we're fighting really hard to do. We have three S's here at Lighthouse that we work really hard to begin to put before you. We put the scriptures before you. I'll read this passage here in just a second from Hebrews chapter 4. We have the saints around you. That's this idea of meeting together, parakaleo, together, encouragement, beseeching. And then you have the Spirit who is at work in you. Remember? Wonderful Counselor. Like, this is our best attempt to say, this is why these things are important. The Scriptures, the saints, and the movement and work of the Spirit. In fact, for those of you that are tightly in your thinking about the Trinity, Liv and I, in our jest, actually fell into a Trinitarian heresy. Jesus is not everywhere. Jesus is in a singular place. Where is that place? He's at the right hand of the Father. And if he were here, we would see him. He would look like a man in glorified form. What does that look like? I have no idea. But that's what we would see. But who is, in fact, everywhere? The person of the Spirit. The person of the Spirit resides within the believer, seals the believer for the day of redemption. The Spirit is even at work now, convicting and working. If there's a non-believer in the room, I pray the Spirit is convicting and pushing and pressing on the non-believer. But Jesus, he ain't everywhere. He's at the right hand of the Father. And so when we talk about this idea of Wonderful Counselor, who are we talking about? We're talking about the counsel of the Spirit. Now, this text, yes, a son is given. It's talking about Jesus, of course. But there is no act of the Son that is not also an act of the Spirit. And there is no act of the Spirit that is not also an act of the Father. They always work in unison because he is one in three. Now, I'll give you a little trick here. You might say, well, yes, but the God of the Old Testament is angry and the Son of the New Testament is love. And you know what I'll say? I'll say, friend, there is no division between that. The loving Son was present with the supposed angry Father of the Old Testament. And the Spirit was present then as well. God, one in three, is always present. Wonderful Counselor. And so here's my question for you. Here's my question. As we finish with Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. For the Word of God is living, it's active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him who we must give an account. When we talk about this idea of the saints around you and the Scriptures before you, so what is the writer of Hebrews saying good counsel is? The Word of God. That's good counsel. What is your counsel? I'm asking, when the wheels fall off and the earth gives way, what is it in your life that you will run to like it's life? What do you go to? Do you go to the daily horoscope? It's kind of helpful occasionally. It is not. I mean, do you run to the best book that's out there on the New York Times bestseller list? I'm asking because Almighty God says of himself that he is a wonderful counselor. He is a God who does miracles. He is a God who blows through and makes a way for his people. That's what he does. And he's good. He is about encouragement and to take and beseech and to bring in his people. But what we regularly do is we will look any which way. And then we wonder why our hearts get hard. I'll ask. People will come in. They'll say, hey, I just am so angry. And you know what I'll say? What are you feeding yourself with? What are you listening to? What are you reading? Who are you hanging out with? What lies are you considering? And listen, you will see how a heart either is hardened or softened based upon what it is fed. And the Bible here says that we are to encourage, we are to counsel daily. We are to regularly gather for what reason? to counsel one another. And so my plea to you today is this. What is it that is your counsel? I wrote this down. May Christ be in your counsel. May your counsel, if not Christ today, may it be renewed to be Christ. Like if today your counsel, maybe a good friend, maybe a sweet mate, an office mate, maybe a neighbor, maybe a blog post that doesn't have anything to do with Christ, I'm begging that, or maybe it's an author that has some super weird, strange ideas, but they're really intriguing and they're pseudo-Christian. Run. Run. I had a lady come to me one time and say, listen, there's been some really great stuff written on spiritual warfare. And I was like, oh man, there's been some amazing books written. She's like, listen, I want to read everything that I can. What should I read about spiritual warfare? And I was like, man, do you have a pen? She's like, I do. And I was like, it's the best thing that's ever been written. She's like, when was it written? I was like, a long time ago, but don't worry about that. She's like, well, what is it? I said, ready for it? She's like, yes, the Gospel of Mark. She's like, but I thought you were going to talk about an author. I was like, I am God Almighty. And you got to hear me. You got to hear me. I am not bagging on books. I'm not bagging on them. I'm not going to do it. There's some great books out there. There really are. But the counsel that God gives, wonderful counselor, if your heart is hardened, remember what we talked about, this commentary from the 80s. He's a God that changes hearts. And if you want that type of change, friends, that type of change does not happen apart from the scriptures, the saints, and the Spirit. And if that's what you want, if you want to, oh, I don't know, fall back in love with your husband, or I don't know, find satisfaction in your job, or if what you want is kids that never get in trouble, right? If you want to be left alone by your HOA, oh God. Like maybe I'm just reading my journal and maybe it's too personal. But whatever it is that you're looking for, if it pertains to life and godliness, I have your answer. And so I'm praying, may Christ be restored to your counsel. I'm praying that you would, if not Christ in your counsel, that you would return to it. If Christ in his word has never been a part of your counsel, your exhortation, it has not been a part of your encouragement, then I'm praying that today be the first day. I'm praying that today you would say, you know what? You know what? He's right. Praise God. And you have to hear me. I am not, if you are thinking today, yes, I want Christ as my counsel. I want the scriptures as its foundation. It's not me that is compelling you. It is the Spirit that is convicting you. Don't push it away. Lean into that and say, okay, Christ is my counsel. Scriptures as my foundation. Saints about me. Praise God. That heart that is hard will be softened. Well, how long does it take, Pastor? No one knows. No one knows. But I promise you this, God's word never fails the hardest of hearts. God's Spirit never fails the hardest of hearts. The saints of God have never failed the hardest of hearts. Well, actually, my church has been really awful and it's been hard and people have wounded me. Yeah, yeah. Give them a chance to repent and soften the hardest of hearts. The church has many reasons to repent and will continue to do so in the future. Friends, I've only been here a year. Just wait. I'm going to keep wounding you. Give me the opportunity to apologize. Seek repentance. Work on it. This is the Christian way. This is what we do until the return of Christ. And today, we are one step closer. Band, if you would come up. Is that good, Daniel? Let's pray together. I actually told the band very last minute to change the last song. If it's terrible, that's on your pastor. I'll apologize next week. I've already mentioned that. I did. I made a last minute change because as I was thinking through the homiletical proposition, the arc of what I was trying to say to you today, it became clear to me that what the Lord wanted in this moment as I began to pray, and sometimes it's very last minute, today it was, but that what the Lord wants for us today from His Word is that for some of you, you do not believe that He will make a way for you. You don't believe it. Like even now you're like, it's great. It's totally great for other people. And if you think that, I'm telling you, the Lord has given so strongly in my mind that for the doubter in here who says, that is so true for everybody else in the room except for me, I'm here to tell you, friend, mom, I'm here to tell you that it is God who is saying he is making a way for you today. He is a wonderful counselor. He is a heart-changing counselor. He is so good and so near. Oh God in heaven, would you do this work in us? Would you make a way where there seems to be no way? Would you soften a heart that doesn't appear in any way for it to be softened? For your kingdom's purposes, in the name of Christ we pray.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. For more information, visit our website at lighthousentx.com.